Tea Time with Tara is proudly sponsored by BetterHelp. My journey with therapy has helped me navigate through life's toughest challenges, from anxiety and PTSD to my divorce, juggling ADHD as a single parent, and most recently, my psoriatic arthritis diagnosis. It's also been crucial in learning how to maintain a healthy relationship despite past traumas. When I lost my health insurance last year, continuing traditional therapy seemed impossible. But that's when I discovered BetterHelp. BetterHelp was there for me, offering accessible ways to cope with these challenges. It's a reminder that mental health care isn't only for crisis moments. It's an integral part of navigating life's journey. The support you need should be accessible at any stage, whether it's for personal growth, health challenges, or life transitions. Now let's talk about how BetterHelp can help you. Is something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Regardless if you have a clinical mental health issue like depression or anxiety, like me, or if you're just a human who lives in this world going through a hard time, therapy can give you tools to approach your life in a very different way. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible. And that's an important mission because finding a therapist can be really hard, especially when you're limited to the options in your area or by your health insurance provider. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online. It's remote, and by filling out a few questions, BetterHelp can match you to a professional therapist in as little as a few days. Or in my case, it was less than a day. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist. There's a link in my description. It's betterhelp.com/teatime. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TEA time. Clicking that link helps support this channel, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp, so you can connect with a therapist and see if it helps you. As I often say on the show, finding the right therapist is a lot like dating. You might not click with the first one, and that's totally okay. With BetterHelp, you can easily switch therapists at no extra cost without the stress of dealing with insurance or network limitations. Reflecting on my journey, I realize how crucial a platform like BetterHelp can be, offering the flexible and supportive space I needed, especially during times when traditional therapy was out of my financial reach. So if you're struggling, consider online therapy with BetterHelp. Click the link in the description or visit BetterHelp, HELP.com/teatime. Thank you again, BetterHelp, for supporting this channel. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Tea Time with Tara. This is Tara, of course. Today's episode is not just any guest. Her name is Cordula. She is a friend of mine for about 20 years, coming up on 20 years. We have a very unique history because we dated the same guy many years ago, and then we just kind of became friends and have navigated the wild ride of life, including motherhood and divorces. So today we are diving into a real conversation about mental health in relationships. And so we are going to keep it real, talking about accountability and challenging some of the more recent pop mental health cliches. So get comfy and grab your favorite mug and let's get into it.
Hi, welcome to Tea Time. This is going to be the best ex-girlfriend episode ever, I think, because here we are, another ex-girlfriend of an ex-boyfriend. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Cordula, and I've known Tara for, what is it, 20 years almost? 20
yeah, years. We're getting close to 20 years because it was, yeah. This year, I think it'll be like 19 years. So,
mm-hmm. Yep, because we both dated the same psycho.
Yeah, like almost 20 years ago. And we became friends, and actually our kids, our oldest kids are the same age. And mm-hmm. So we've kind of grown up together and done this crazy thing called life together. Actually got divorced even around the same time. So that's kind of fun. We're going to talk about relationships and mental health, and we're going to really dig into some specific things about accountability, about what else are we going to talk about? Look at your notes.
about how everyone's in a different position and a different spot as far as how much of their mental health to them is an excuse versus something that they integrate within themselves and learn how to work with and improve upon themselves, and how you really need to know where you're at so that you can partner up better with someone who's in a similar spot.
Yes. Yeah. So knowing, understanding, and the difference between having the awareness of, for example, me having ADHD and not using that as an excuse, for example, for my shitty behavior.
Right. So like you can use it to explain certain things. Hey, I know this about myself now, and I have an understanding about why I do this thing or think this way because of this. And that's helpful to me because now I can use that information to figure out what does work for me, whether it's journaling or a schedule or whatever, so that I can be better in my life and more present in my relationship versus some people are like, I have this thing and it's never going to change and y'all have to learn how to work around me. And how that attitude can very easily become kind of manipulative when it's everyone has to bend around that person because of mental health reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that completely. I mean, I know, for example, with ADHD, a big thing that a lot of people talk about is emotional dysregulation. And so that basically means that you're more prone to lose your shit. And that's not a fucking excuse for shitty behavior. And I know that, like, you can apologize and say, I'm sorry I did that. But then you have to look at yourself and you have to say, okay, what got me so dysregulated about that? And how am I going to show up and do better in the future? And like, if you're not doing that and you're just saying, oh, well, that's how I am, then you're using it as an excuse for your shitty behavior and not actually growing or being a good partner or decent human being to other people around you.
Right. And I also think, like I said, like that, you know, knowing about whatever we have, whether it's a diagnosis or just a trait, can help us analyze ourselves better so that we can do that examining. But I think the kind of people who want everyone else to bend around them, it's almost like they want their partners to learn and manage their issues instead of them doing it themselves. Because it's like, oh, well, if you know I'm always going to lose my shit, then you know it's not my fault. And therefore, it's almost like free license to do it as opposed to, you know, and it doesn't even matter if you apologize or not, because if you keep doing it, as opposed to the person doing that work themselves and like, why did I get upset? It's like, well, you should just know. This is how it's going to be.
Well, yeah, like, no. And then that's manipulation. And because at that point, then you're just like, well, you need to deal with this because this is how I am. And
exactly.
That's really, really unhealthy because, I mean, there is a level, I think, of like your partner kind of knowing your triggers, for example. And I don't mean that in like a trauma way or what, like just things that might set you off or upset you or make you dysregulated. Cause I feel like as adults and human beings, we all get dysregulated about different things. I think that when we're feeling strongly about something, we might disproportionately react at some point in time. Mm-hmm. But knowing that about your partner and being able to just recognize it can be helpful, I feel like. But that doesn't, again, it's still not your responsibility as that person's partner to prevent it or work around it. It's just kind of like the awareness is helpful for sure.
Right.
Because then you're like, oh, okay, I know what this is. And then I can choose to act accordingly. But you it doesn't mean that you have to put up with somebody's shitty behavior, I guess is kind of what I'm trying to say.
Right. And it's also about like just kind of knowing where you're at, because if you know you're the kind of person who wants to improve things and you know you're the kind of person who wants that same energy, then you know you're not going to want to be in a relationship or a friendship or anything where the other people are expecting that. Whereas some people may feel more, I don't know if it's just because of sympathy for the person or they just know them very well, that they can put up with more of a disproportionate amount. But generally, people want to have like that same level of like, you're working on yourself, me too. Not like, you know, no one is. And of course, all these things, mental health things are real, you know, like we don't want to downplay real gaslighting, real manipulation, all that stuff. But some people like definitely can use those buzzwords and those things to be like shittier. And so it's like not about specific words and phrases, but it's about just being aware of the situation, you know, like I'd mentioned before, boundaries is a great one where people can, boundaries are real. We have to be aware of boundaries. We have to be aware of triggers. But some people will definitely overuse it to explain either shitty behavior or stonewalling or anything else, because they can hide behind that protection of mental health words.
Well, wait, give an example of that though. Like using a boundary as stonewalling, like disguising stonewalling as a boundary.
Example, yeah. Anytime you bring up anything that a person doesn't like and they don't want to face it and they don't want to think about it and they don't want to talk about it, instead of them acknowledging this is a hurtful topic, I don't want to talk about it, or I'm not ready to talk about it because I'm just not, I haven't thought about it enough and done the work enough and I just am too bothered by it, they'll just say, oh, that's a boundary. You can't bring it up. You can't talk to me about it. If you're even a little bit heated and your voice is slightly raised, your tone is slightly irritated, oh, that's a boundary. I refuse to speak to anyone who's angry or agitated. And just basically like refusing any difficult conversation as a boundary for mental health. But it's shutting out relationship growth.
Right.
You know, and there's also people like with triggers where if you know someone's triggers or you get to know someone's triggers, hopefully pretty well. And you can kind of at least learn when new ones come up and hopefully they won't teach you those by blowing up in your face. Hopefully they'll gently right. say that's something that bothers me. But some people, everything is a trigger. And the most innocuous thing sets them off. And you're like, I don't know how to manage this because everything mm-hmm. is a problem. And they'll turn it around and say, oh, well, you triggered me. And it's like, do nothing, be nothing. You know, it's like you can't manage it.
Right. Yeah.
So that kind of stuff becomes very manipulative.
That's the thing, that it becomes manipulation when you're just shutting down, shutting out any conversation, and then not willing to, like, because there's a difference between being like, let's say I'm really upset and I'm raising my voice at you, and mm-hmm. and you're like, that's a trigger for me. I don't want to have this conversation right now. Mm-hmm. You can say that, or that's a boundary for me. Mm-hmm. Why don't we revisit this when we've had a few minutes to cool off.
Yep.
Like there's a way to go about mm-hmm. it in a healthy way rather than just being like, oh, that's it. We're not doing this. I'm not doing this. We're not revisiting this. That's a hard line for me because
yep.
like what you said, then you're avoiding accountability and you're avoiding growth. Like mm-hmm. you have to be able to be willing to have uncomfortable conversations and to put extra effort and be really fucking uncomfortable in order mm-hmm. to grow as a person, as an individual, but also to grow in your relationships. Because with my friends, I have some relatively newer friends where we've had to have uncomfortable conversations because we have like a group of friends that we're navigating. And I appreciate their friendship so much more because they have come to me, stepped out of their comfort zones and said to me, hey, you know, I saw this or I felt this about this situation and that didn't really look cool to me. Can we talk about that? Mm-hmm. And like mm-hmm. being able to approach somebody and say like, hey man, that wasn't cool, but like, I want to talk to you about this because I don't think you were trying to be shitty. And so right. like, I felt a certain way about it and these are my feelings about it, but I would really like to talk with you about this. Like friendships can be that too.
Absolutely. And I think that's actually super important what you brought up, because I think a lot of relationships, friendships, work, everything, it is really about fine lines, because some things are more obvious and more easy. And I also want to talk about intent and impact, but some things are more obvious. Like if you curse at someone, it's kind of obvious that you're probably kind of trying to be a dick or you're heated or something. And that's kind mm-hmm. of an easier thing. But some things are very like innocuous. And someone will explain to you, well, I happen to not like this thing. And then the appropriate thing is to try to manage it, even if you didn't do mm-hmm. anything wrong. It's just a preference. Mm-hmm. It's not about yeah. right and wrong. And that the thing is with that is that some people really feel a way about having to be different when they didn't do anything wrong. And they take it as an attack, like they did something wrong, when it's just about the right. other person. And so they,
yes.
you know, there's all these weird feelings and navigating that, because I don't want to be friends with someone where everything is a problem and I have to like be ultra gentle in my speech,
because well, yeah, there like is tiptoeing.
The element, exactly. And there is the element of like, you don't want to censor yourself. You want to be like, hey, I look, Tara, you know what? You're my friend and you're not going to like to hear this, but you're drinking too much and it's a problem. Like no one's going to want to hear that. no one's going to be like, oh, you know what? That's great that you told me. Thank you. I completely agree.
Thank you.
Usually it's like excuses and defensiveness and all that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you want to be honest. If you're too gentle about stuff, you're not getting an important message across. But at the same time, like, everyone's got different perceptions and how they're going to take something. Some people need a harder message and some people need a gentler message.
Yeah.
And so as far as like the impact and intent, like that, I think comes up a lot when it's not so obvious. So like, say you make a joke and I'm like, oh, I know she was just trying to be fun and friendly and she didn't do anything wrong, but I don't personally like it. I know your intent was good. I know your intent was mm-hmm. to be funny and laughable or whatever. So I'm not going to launch at you in an attack because I know your intent and that should right. matter to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also yes, going to feel like I want to say something just so you know, so I don't keep having it happen and then I might blow up because I never said anything.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing that like intent matters, but like
it does.
Also the impact matters. And even though the yes. intent was fine, you can still bring that up. And then there's other times when the intent might have been good, but you won't like the impact might matter more than the intent. Like mm-hmm. it just really depends on the situation. You know, like there's yes. a lot of times I let things go because I know the intent was good and I'm not that bothered.
Mm-hmm.
But if I am kind of bothered, then I have to bring it up in fairness to the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that because I do see a lot of, you know, those memes, these mental health memes with these little blurbs about, well, your intent doesn't matter. And it's like, actually, it really does matter. It matters. It completely matters. And this is exactly why. Because if you're intending on hurting somebody, then the impact might not change necessarily, right?
Right.
But it could. Intent matters because then you know how to approach the situation. If I know right. somebody was trying to be shitty to me, then I have a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And say, I'm not tolerating this, period.
Wouldn't it stink to ruin a relationship because you thought they intended harm and they didn't? Like to me, and I think about that a lot, because if someone did not intend harm, whether it was like a joke or even just a misunderstanding, because those are also two different categories, because joking yeah. is tied to offense. There's no way around that. Humor is tied to yeah. offense. It's tied to towing a line and all these, usually. But if someone like, if it was just a clear misunderstanding
mm-hmm.
and you're the one who misunderstood, you're going to think they were being a jerk
mm-hmm.
because you misunderstood. And in that way, there's times that I'm like, if I misunderstood, then my anger is based on something that didn't actually even happen. And I want to know that. Like, I want to know what your intent was, because if I'm incorrect, I don't want to sabotage something because of something I essentially made up in my head or my own fear or something like that. So that's when intent really matters.
Yeah. Like feeling like someone was coming for you when they weren't, basically, right. is kind of like,
or you
like
just somebody read their saying words something. Wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and so that's, yeah, that's definitely where intent matters. I mean,
and we could common.
Use. Yeah, we could use me approaching my boyfriend the first time as a perfect example of intent.
Exactly.
Because I intended to just kind of like bust his balls and be funny, but he didn't know me and he was not in the best headspace. And so he looked at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was yep. like, ooh, okay, my bad. And then I had to like do this whole thing of explaining myself and not making excuses, but saying right. like, I was just trying to be funny here. I'm sorry.
Right.
I read the room wrong. Like that kind of a thing is
right.
basically
where. And you're not
going
to sit there and say I was a jerk because you weren't actually trying to be a jerk, even though you looked like a jerk or whatever. It's like,
right.
I get that completely.
Right.
It's just a misunderstanding yeah. in where you're coming in from. And that
yeah.
happens all the time in relationships.
I fully admit, like I handled it wrong. I was drunk and like, did not choose my words correctly, but I did not intend to be an asshole. And so I
right.
won't say I was an asshole because I
right.
did not intend to be. And we worked it out, obviously, a year and a half later.
Right. And that's the here. Thing is that some people want to hear I was an asshole. Like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
because you were perceived in that way, some people mm-hmm. will only be satisfied if you say yes. I completely meant to be what you thought. Like like they won't be happy with your
yeah.
explanation. They only want
right.
to be validated in their in what they perceived. And I don't think that's really
well, so
healthy.
There's a way to do that. There's a way to do that. There's a way to say like, I can totally see how I came off as an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And taking accountability for the fact that I approached it wrong, but still saying, or just approached it in a way that didn't work for you. Because right. there's also a difference between, I mean, in my case, it was definitely wrong. So I can own that too. But like, there's also the nuance of it just didn't work for that person. But 100%. That doesn't, mm-hmm. yeah, that doesn't mean that I did anything wrong. That
exactly.
sometimes it's just a matter of the whole right and wrong thing. I actually talk a lot with my boyfriend about this, that mm-hmm. there's this idea with a lot of people, I think society as a whole, with right and wrong, and you did this to me, or this was wrong. And sometimes it's just about like, hey, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. I'm not saying you were wrong, are wrong, whatever. I'm saying that this is how I feel about this situation. And I want to talk about it because I'm feeling a certain way. And I want to mm-hmm. know where you're coming from, where your head was at, whatever mm-hmm. the situation is. But like,
right.
being able to approach it that way, fuck being right and wrong. If you yep. value a relationship, you're not going to do that in general. You can still talk about all of those nuances of, I know I can validate how you felt about that, and you can validate how I felt about that, and we can still come out of it seeing things completely differently
right.
as long as we have a better understanding.
And that's what it should be about. It's about understanding, not agreeing on every single little thing. Like, people are different. And of course, like yeah. the more similar you are in how you view things, like, I think humor is important to line up on.
I do.
Because it's yeah. so tied to offense and like the types of jokes and just all that stuff. But it's about seeing how the other person could see it. But also mm-hmm. that gets you a better understanding of giving grace, because if you know the person is more, more loud, and I was going to bring this up as an example, like, if someone's more loud and more talkative, then you know that that's their personality. And mm-hmm. ideally you're not going to see that as abrasive, because that would be a tough thing to navigate if you're
right.
like, sensitive to loudness and they're very loud. But
right.
at least you'll have some understanding, like, because some people are just like louder and more like culturally, whatever. And, you know, you have an understanding of that's your partner or that's your friend. And so you're going to give more grace and know, you know what, they weren't trying to be a jerk or obnoxious. That's like, again, not to say that's how I am, but some things are our personality. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not everything is fixable.
And so two girls from New Jersey.
Exactly.
Like, I feel
exactly.
Like,
I can try. Culturally,
we are just a little bit. That's just how we are.
And exactly. Now, I didn't want to bring it up because, of course, we have to learn our inside voices for jobs yeah. and all that. But at the same time, you also want to have a sense of being yourself around your close friends and partner.
Yes.
And them yeah. understanding when you don't mean harm. Because if you are in a partnership or friendship with someone where, like, everything about you is a problem, it's not going to really last that long.
No.
So there's an element of grace, and it's a good thing. But not to the point where it's being taken advantage of and you're just like supporting their, you know, bad behavior or enabling them to be shitty or whatever. But yeah, grace for a personality trait, or grace for knowing that, you know, they don't mean harm. You know, I don't want to fight over every little thing that comes up. Yeah,
exactly.
I let a lot go.
and that's kind of like choosing your battles. And so with friends, for example, you see that your friend is doing what we talked about earlier with not taking accountability and abusing boundaries. There has to be a point where you look at mm-hmm. your friend, if you're a good friend, and say, hey, dude, like, look, I fully support your mental health journey and I want you to be happy. However, I am seeing that you're being avoidant, or like, however mm-hmm. the fuck you want to approach it. But
right.
like, you kind of have to, if you're going to be a good friend, you're going to call your friends out on their shit. And that doesn't mean that you have to do it in a, listen, dude, you need to stop, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. You can gently do it. And then it's up to you. Then you set a boundary, right? That as to whether or not, if they're not going to start taking accountability for their shit, then you get to choose whether or not you want to continue that friendship, or whether you want to prioritize that friendship, or right. whatever. Because sometimes you don't need full breakups with friends. Sometimes you just need to deprioritize them. And mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because, you know, we also have to navigate the fact that this is like a web where we might have our preferences on their personality and they're going to be who they are and they deal with their people. And it just all like kind of, you know, meshes in with each other, because mm-hmm. we can't make them be who we want perfectly. And that's not anyone's job. We can only just mention things that to us, I think, are the big hills, like you said, choosing your battles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things that we think matter. If we care about someone, we're going to bring up something mm-hmm. that we think might be beneficial to them. Be as gentle as we think we need to be while still getting the point across, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Being yeah. as gentle as we think we need to be. That's a really valid point. Like knowing your audience and being able mm-hmm. to read the room and knowing like, okay, I know that this person has a tendency to be avoidant. So then you might approach it differently, or, you know, somebody mm-hmm. who is more receptive to feedback than mm-hmm. like, and I can even use myself as an example because in the past, like my family stopped giving me feedback for a little while, like because I would get so defensive, because I felt like any kind of feedback to me was an attack. And that mm-hmm. was because of my own shit, my own insecurities and whatever. But then like I would get hostile and not really be able to hear what they were saying. And so that's something that I had to work on. And now I am now having to go back and rebuild the trust with them so that they can know that I have grown and that they can come to me and talk to me about things without it being the way that it used to be.
Right. Like, we need to learn how to interrupt that instant thought.
Yeah.
Take a breath mm-hmm. and then be like, you know what? This still is something that bothers me and I need time, or, you know, whatever it may be. There's all these different methods of doing that. But to stop the quick reaction, because everything spirals from there. And we need to like, and that's one of the hardest things I think to do. But awareness is number one, right? Mm-hmm. So if I know something set me off, you know, try not to like.
Yeah.
Jump down someone's throat, because it may benefit you in the long run, or you can just disagree, you know, hey, actually that thing is, you know, I'm not ready to face it, or I have that coping mechanism for a reason, or mm-hmm. you misread the situation, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
We kind of hit a lot of that. I don't like it. Like when everything's pathologized, but at the same time, like it's situational. When something comes up, we're like, something's not right about that. Or someone's doing mm-hmm. something too much, making excuses too much. And it is sometimes difficult to navigate that, especially with people you can't like distance yourself from, family, long-term partnerships, mm-hmm. you know, that can be really, really tough, because sometimes you do have to learn how to deal with someone who won't change. And that stinks, because you're the one who's being bent around, but sometimes you have to. And knowing that you are being bent around to manage their emotions, but that like the awareness that like they're not going to change, and that you're just doing this to deal with them, it helps to make you feel a little less like taken advantage of, I think, especially
well,
if it's like
I think it can,
parent-child relationships.
It can help you manage your expectations, I think, is really kind of what it boils down to. Like with my dad, I can use that relationship as an example. Like I know that there are times when he might get dysregulated about something. And I know that there is no engaging with him when he is
exactly
like doing that spiral. And mm-hmm. and so like once he goes there, I disengage, because I know
exactly.
Like, and it's not, I'm not being avoidant, because we'll have a conversation later about it.
Exactly.
I know that when my dad is feeling some type of way about something, he stops thinking rationally and he needs a minute. And so
right.
I tell him, Dad, I'm not continuing this conversation right now. We'll talk about this later. And I end the conversation, and we'll need like a day or two of cooling off. And then we can go back and have the conversation and speak about it from a clear place. But like knowing mm-hmm. that I can't expect my dad, because he's not there yet mm-hmm. in his
and
journey.
If you had an expectation, we're going to talk about this right now, it's going to make it worse. So in
so
that
much
way,
worse.
Yes. Right. So it's like we are understanding that we are molding around certain things, but in a way that can be a good thing It's not being manipulative or being manipulated, but it's understanding that this is best for this situation with this person.
Yes.
And with other people, it's different. I also wanted to mention, I used to be, and I still am very about being honest and direct. Like, it's very important to me to be honest and direct. I don't want to sugarcoat
too much. One of the things I love about you and why I feel like we've stayed friends for so long, because you're so honest and like, you really keep it real. So
painfully honest sometimes. So I'm trying to actually be less honest, but what it is that I've learned, I'm still working on like the voice, the volume, the tone, but what I've learned is, I used to think that nonverbal communication was a cop out and like, you're just not saying what's on your mind. And I have really learned that there is an art to it where it's actually sometimes better. And I've had this conversation with so many people that feel different ways and all that, but sometimes a nonverbal cue can actually be better. And I'll give you an example. If someone gives you something and you really don't love it, but you can't say that because that'll hurt their feelings. So you're just like, you're not going to be like, oh my God, I love it so much. Oh my God, how did you know? And gush, because that's like you're giving the wrong impression. But you don't want to be like, ugh, what the hell? Like, do you even know me at all? So you might just be like, oh, thank you. That was really thoughtful of you to think about me. And like, I know that's verbal, but I'm also, there is nonverbal in it. There's how you're acting, your voice,
your body language,
excitement level. 100%. And even sometimes someone makes a joke and you find it off-putting, but not so off-putting that you want to sit them down in 5 minutes and be like, by the way, what you said. So you just kind of be like, that little bit to me says so much, because now it's like, I'm not trying to put you down. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm also not trying to make it a bigger thing than it is. And I'm just letting you know, like, wasn't that funny to me? Because the normal thing is, if you notice that, then a friend might be like, that's not their style. I'm going to do other jokes, or I'm, you know, it's like, you don't need to be a different person. It's just hinting, maybe not.
Well, and that also can open up, like, depending on how much it matters to the other person, then that little cue right there, right, can be like, okay, how much does this matter to me? And do it. Maybe I want to pull you aside later and talk to you about why I got that reaction from you when I may have been expecting a different one, you know, like, then you get to choose without it having to be this big thing where you're like, that wasn't funny, when it didn't need to be that. And that person can then just like, you just kind of like, shrug it off. And then that person can be like, okay, I thought that was funny. Maybe I should talk to her about why that wasn't funny to her.
Right. And it can be, but it also can be as simple as like, I don't want to see a problem in everything. And so I'm not going to be like, that's offensive. Like, I'm so tired of that. And so like, having grace for people, recognizing that they might enjoy something or they meant it in a way that's like, it's amusing to them. I'm not trying to like shit on their fun, but just, it's like, because some people will, everyone takes everything differently. Some people will take that little body language as like, oh my gosh, like, she's completely shunning my jokes. It's rude. But I see it as almost like a more gentle way of like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And if it needs to become a conversation, if it keeps happening, or if they keep doing more and more and more, getting worse, then I'll decide, okay, now I'm going to say something.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, and so I think sometimes a small, I think this is actually super relevant in flirtation, because the art of flirtation is, it cannot be super direct, right? Think about that.
Yeah.
If someone comes up to you and says exactly what they want to do, not such a great game, okay? Like, something wrong there. So you have to kind of play with what's not being said, with body language, with certain smirks and smiles. And if someone says something to you and you're not interested, instead of being rude and being like, I don't want to fuck you, you'll just be like, thanks, you know. And it's almost a kindness to not be super verbal sometimes. And I'm starting to understand that.
Yeah.
And if they keep doing it, you could be like, guess what, buddy? I got a taser. You better back. So like, you know.
Exactly. Like,
it's about
the fuck up.
It's about not meeting this with this. And it's, you know, it's about not making everything.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that.
So I think that comes in time.
I've done that. I've had to first be like, no, thanks. And then had to follow it up with, no, seriously, I'm not interested. like, yep. because they kept kind of pushing and not really picking up on those nonverbal cues or the body language or whatever.
And I think, like, it's so obvious if you're interested. Like,
yeah,
come
I mean,
on.
I don't think I could have made it any more obvious that I was interested in Mike when, like, when I first started talking to him. I think I actually look back sometimes now and laugh at how fucking obvious and ridiculous I was, because I was just like, yo, dude, I'm into this.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
And I think us girls kind of are like that. At least you and me. Like, I'm obvious. If I like you, you know it.
Yeah. Well, that's, I feel like not everybody is like that. Some people, and I don't even know, like, as far as flirting is concerned, I don't even know if, like, if I could describe flirting, like, or how I flirt. I just know that I'll like make eye contact, or again, I do think it's like a body language thing more for me.
But that's even the most subtle thing, like breaking eye contact is body language. It is a signal. It is a message. Mm-hmm. And of course, you could bring up like neurodivergent and not making eye contact or being taught to make eye contact. Like, I don't actually look at people in the eye a lot of the time because I feel like a little intimidated, even though I'm like such a big personality. And it's actually so bad for things like job interviews. And when some, like, I don't want to look at you in the eye, and everyone looks at me like, what is wrong with this girl? And I'm like, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't handle it. So it looks away to people. And I can't just explain to them, like, hi, I'm fucking weird. So nice to meet you. Like, but it is a thing. And like, if a guy is flirting, I'm going to probably not be looking at them in the eye, because I'm like feeling, and then they think it's like
nervous.
And I'm like, no, I'm just.
I've actually, so I mean, I'm gonna have to describe this because the video will only go up, I think, on YouTube now, but there was a time where somebody, I was at a club with my sister and a couple of friends, and this guy was coming, he made like a beeline for me. I was like, oh, here he comes. And I saw him and I was like, no fucking way, not happening. And I straight up went and put my hand up. And they, like, put it out to him, like, don't fucking come near me, because he was coming at me with such aggression in the way that he was walking. And, like, he just picked me out of, like, the group of people and just, I don't know. And it just happened that I just put my hand up and shook my head no. And they looked at me like, Tara, well, you are such a fucking bitch. And I was like, well, didn't waste his time, didn't waste my time. Did I owe him anything? Like, granted, that was not a very polite thing to do, but we were in a club. It was very loud. And I just really wanted to be there with my sister and my friends and not have to deal with this guy who very clearly saw
me as prey. Because how can you be polite in a club? You have to get this close to them and whisper in their ears, oh, I'm not interested, and shout.
Well, and then after that, I don't even want to do that. And then after that, because they called me out on that, I let somebody then come and approach me because I felt like, ooh, you know, I was too. And then the guy wouldn't leave me the fuck alone.
Exactly.
So,
and then some guys are like, oh, if you're cute, you're allowed to do it. Yes, actually. Sorry. Yes, if you're more interested in the partner, potential partner, you're going to let them do more, be closer. It's like, what an odd thing to say. Like, you don't have to allow strangers in your periphery. And I try very hard to be kind, like, because I don't want to be rude to, you know, someone's shooting their shot. I'm like, that's takes courage, I guess. But there are times, like, if I made that reaction that you did, there's a reason. I'm not just going to do that to anyone. Like, some girls might, but for me, I feel really bad. But like, it's just too much is going on. It's too loud. It's just too much to deal with or whatever. I'm not going to be rude unless I have to, I think. But then again, I'm from New Jersey, so some people think I'm always rude. But
I know. I feel like that's definitely a thing.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, it is about like connection and how much like you can vibe off of someone. I swear from a picture, you can somewhat catch a vibe. And I'm not saying we're always 100% right, but so much is said that's not said. And I can meet someone in a few minutes. I have an idea. I mean, this is like what we look. Dating apps are unfair. They're all based on looks, blah, blah, blah. It's hard to write who you are. I get all that. But at the same time, and it's great to meet people in real life. 100%. But I think that there is something about, like, I don't know, intuition, reading into things, getting a lot from a little. that people ignore. And I'm not going to sit here and apologize for why I don't like somebody. I'm not going to do that anymore.
I think that, yeah, I think that it goes back to what we were just talking about, like picking up those, there are all these little things that we don't even realize. And this is, I don't even remember where I heard about this from, but like those things that we feel our intuition are that our brain is doing all this other stuff and picking up all this other stuff that we're not even conscious about, but our brain is still processing it and saying like, you know, and I mean, I guess when people are traumatized, it's different because we have a different perspective on reading what red flags are and danger and stuff like that. But that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, you pick up on all of these little things from people. And I feel like as women, especially, we can become conditioned to not trust that. And
yeah, but what's messed up about that is that we're more intuitive for a fucking reason, because we need to. Yeah. We need to,
because
we're
always used to protecting ourselves. Yes, protecting ourselves.
And we also,
we
have more risk. Like, guys talk about all this BS. Like, we have more risk involved with getting pregnant, getting, you know, we're smaller, like all these other things we have a risk for. So we're going to have an intuition. And then we also teach ourselves how to ignore it because of reasons. And we shouldn't do that. You know, I'm fully on board for, if you have an ick or a vibe, I love Gen Z speak, because I'm like, yes, we needed that word. If you get the ick from somebody, I don't need to fucking explain it. It's not because of his haircut. It's not because of her. I just don't like the person, period.
Yeah.
I don't
have a
reason. They're wonderful. They could be wonderful, but I'm not vibing. I'm not on.
Yeah, but you can. They can be wonderful over there, and they don't need to be up in my space. Yeah.
Like, I always say that. I'm like, over there.
I love that for you over there.
Yeah.
But like, I don't feel good about it, like, I think especially you have two daughters. I have a daughter. And I think that that's really important to teach our kids, but especially our daughters, like, you do not have to be in someone's space or let them be in your space if you don't feel comfortable, and you don't need a fucking reason why. If you don't like it, you don't like it. And that ick is good enough. Fuck what anybody else says. It's good enough. If someone gives you the ick.
And if someone makes you feel bad about it for any fucking reason, bye. Like, I'm not, like, I've had people try to introduce me. This is back when I was like a teenager, but I had people introduce me to someone. I was just like, not. I was like, I don't even know if I was like 16 and this person was like over 18. I don't even know. But I'm just like, no. And they're like, oh, he's a nice guy. And I'm like, I just know, no. Like, it's not that they're not a nice guy. It's no. Like, I don't need to give you access to me, which is another thing. I know we're getting off topic of what we originally started on, but that's okay.
That's fine. You, I kind of figured we might.
Yeah. You control the access to you, and you should actually make it kind of hard to have access to you, because, not to sound like a bitch or a cunt, but maybe I am. Not everyone does.
I'm all for being a bitch and a cunt.
Me, yes. The one thing my ex taught me, he said, not everyone deserves access to you. And I was like, you're right. And
preach.
So ever since, and I don't know if he meant it in the same way. I think he meant it because I'm a very open person. But the more that I've grown and gotten older, obviously I was married, so that was like access in a sexual way. It was not an issue. There was no access sexually other than photography, which I enjoy. It's my expression, whatever. But I think he meant like my words, which might have partly been, don't tell people our business, which I will. But I get to tell my own story.
But your choice, yes.
Because that's a control. That's a control mechanism. But I will think of it now as access. Like, no, not everyone does deserve access to you. And of course, sexually, whatever you want to choose to do, but it should be
your choice.
Just
your time.
Your time,
your attention. That's it.
And why would I entertain it if I'm not interested in you romantically? Why should I pretend to be? For what? Does that help anything? No, it doesn't help.
To be polite,
it's just a lie. It's a lie.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not doing that. I'm not lying to someone.
Totally with that.
To me, is dishonest.
Well, all right. So I want to go back to the fuck. Oh, there it goes. It's gone. I fucking hate when that happens.
It'll come back.
You know when you have. Yeah. Damn it. It was right there.
Was it
there,
about
and then it
girls?
Was going,
children?
No. I think that there was something about just like the control of telling your story. That's what it was. Okay, we're back.
Good.
Being able to, because like this is important, and this kind of goes back to where we were earlier, but like nobody has the fucking right to tell you what you can and cannot say about what your experience was, especially if you are talking about abuse. And like, I mean, I know that we can go back and forth on this. Well, is this person abusive? Are they not abusive? I think that we are all now being bombarded with all of these like mental health keywords and like
everyone's a narcissist. I know.
Yeah, where it's like everybody has narcissistic tendencies. Let's just get that right off the like right out there. Mm-hmm. Everybody in some way has a little bit of whatever.
We are ourselves,
and that does not mean ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the human condition to do that. So like there that doesn't make people a narcissist, for example. That just means that like for whatever reason, whatever their shit is, that's how they navigate the world. But like there's this idea of protecting somebody because of being polite.
Mm-hmm.
Not rocking the boat, not ruffling feathers. I mean, like I went through
to speak bad about others.
Yeah, I went through a very extreme thing with that last year, which I know that you know a lot about, and people closer to me know a lot about, like where I chose to speak about something on my podcast, and it ended up being, you know, me talking about my experience ended up causing, like resulting in me being abused by other people because I was talking about my feelings about something. And so obviously I'm not going to revisit it because I took down the fucking episode because my, like I was physically being threatened and being told to kill myself over it. But like, that's crazy.
Yep.
And all because, I spoke, all because I spoke about my experience about something and people didn't like the way that I painted a person or the way that they felt about how they thought I was trying to portray this person when in reality I was just talking about my feelings and my experience and I wasn't trying to drag anybody through mud, like that was not my intention. So we can circle back to that too. That wasn't my fucking intention, and I still, like, I was just trying to speak out about my experience and how I could grow from it and maybe how I could help other people grow from it. And it got turned into this whole big other thing. And like, I realize now, especially being out of it for so long, I was in such a fragile place that I crumbled.
Mm-hmm.
But like after doing all of this healing over the last year plus, I'm now like, fuck those people.
Mm-hmm.
Like anybody who is going to try and silence me for speaking my truth and wanting to come for me for speaking about something that I experienced, that I tried to use to help other people to not make the same fucking mistakes that I made or the same mistakes that somebody else was making. I didn't name names. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not my style. I talk about, I mean, I mentioned my boyfriend, but like, we're cool with that. Like all the people that I talk about on my podcast, I make sure that they're cool with it before, or at least because we talk, conversations happen. If somebody comes up, something comes up, I make sure that I run it by them before I post it on the internet, because I'm not trying to make people feel bad, look bad, anything like that. I'm just trying to help people. And I think that, I mean, that's the whole intention of this conversation too. Like, you're not trying to come out and be like, people are who do this are wrong, or people who do this are bad. It's just like, how about here's a different perspective,
right?
And
be aware
and
of it.
And we should talk about that.
I don't want people to get manipulated almost like in a soft way, you know, like, oh, it's my mental illness, poor me. Like, it's about that. And I completely agree with you, because same, and without spilling too much tea, it's just, you are allowed to share your experience. And honestly, like, the fact that you're trying to be so gentle about names and all that, our lives and our stories are not just us. Like, it is so hard to just talk about my feelings. I could talk about my feelings sitting here looking out the window. But the truth is, when it comes to interactions, it was an interaction with someone else and their behaviors mm-hmm. and what they brought to the table and what their mm-hmm. traits or their bad maladaptive behaviors caused in me, caused to happen, the way I responded to them. It's an interplay and it always will be. Mm-hmm. And so saying your experience in a situation, it embarrasses the person who did it. If you're talking about, you know, if the person who's angry is the person who it's about, of course, because no one wants to hear mm-hmm. a story of like, that time Cordy was an asshole. Of course it's going to hurt to hear that. But at the same time, if you've worked towards making amends and being better, maybe that story wouldn't need to be shared to others. Like, maybe it wouldn't need to be spilt. But if you're not able to have someone who can take accountability, fix things, deal with things, it's not that you're trying to slam their name, which is what a lot of people think. It's about right. when you have someone who can take accountability and, you know, make you feel away, make you feel like you're a problem, like put down, like you feel manipulated by this person, mm-hmm. you're going to want to express that. You're going to want to say what's going on. You're going to want to get the truth out, even if it's like a flat out objective, this person did something really egregious.
Right.
Sometimes you do want to say, guess what? This person did something really fucked up.
And that's also perfectly fine. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm so tired. Fine. I'm so tired of it like being silenced. Like, we are not going to stop talking about abuse that we've endured, full stop. And people who get angry because you say the truth of what they said and did to you, well, maybe you should be a better person. Like, I'm not sorry.
Like, look in the fucking mirror. Yeah. Look in the fucking mirror at your actions and how they contributed to the situation. Because guess what? Even in situations where, like, I've talked about my marriage, for example, and how mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. I know even though we're friends now, we're good.
Yeah.
Our relationship became toxic and I was a stupid bitch cunt sometimes. Like, yeah. I know that I behaved in fucking shitty ways and I was not a nice person to him sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. like, I'm taking full accountability for that because I never want to be that person ever again. Not to him. No matter what happened between me and him, I don't ever want to be that person again. And no matter mm-hmm. whatever happens in any relationship, whether it's a friendship, my family, with my current partner, like, I, having been through that and having to look at myself, mm-hmm. Choosing, because not everybody chooses to do that.
100%.
Choosing to look at myself and be like, wow, you know, like, yeah, whatever happened between us started with this. But I know I contributed to it the volume turning up or like mm-hmm, it mm-hmm. getting worse because of X, Y, Z. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what it should be.
You get so caught up in it.
Because mm-hmm. then it's like, again, going back to being with someone who's on the same level of wanting to do the work. If the person that, you know, did wrong, which is all of us ever, doesn't want to face that and doesn't want to acknowledge, doesn't want to acknowledge that, and they won't grow from it, and they continue to either feel like the victim or like you're evil for talking about it, then they're going to be left behind because just like you said, I have done a lot wrong. I have done a lot that I wish I handled better. However, I, again, with fine lines and things, I've also gotten taken advantage of for being nicer. Mm-hmm. I've definitely not put up boundaries enough. I've definitely allowed things to continue and like, it's just how they are. It's okay. Like, I've enabled for sure. And I don't even know if some people realize that I've done that because they just feel like they were just doing them, but like I let them. So of course I've done things wrong. Like, I'm not perfect, but I choose to at least try to learn and not do them again. Because if I keep doing them and I don't learn, it's like you're the problem without even realizing it. You know, like, at least mm-hmm. I want to know. At least, and maybe it's a female thing. I don't know, Virgo thing. We're just more self-aware of like, what did I do
wrong?
Our
birthdays are like
super close.
Yeah, they're really close.
Yeah, like, what did I do wrong and how can I fix it? Because what's the freaking point of being an overthinker if it doesn't help me be better and have a better life and a better outlook? I don't want to just be miserable. I'm going to die someday.
And nobody's like, perfect.
Like, I want to do
better. Nobody's perfect. Look at how you're contributing to each situation. Because even in a situation where somebody does you wrong, there are probably things that you could have done better too.
Oh my God. Okay. So I say that a lot. Like I say, even if someone is completely wrong, no, I'm so bad at like making myself feel like shit. If someone does something that they were bothered by something that you really didn't do wrong, right? Like, oh, you're so loud. I'll be like, you know what? It is partly who I am. I don't want to feel guilty about who I am. But at the same time, what could I have done better? I could modulate my tone a little better. Maybe I can learn where I will take a lesson from anywhere. You could be a crazy person on the street ranting. And I'm like, maybe he's got a point somewhere in there I could find. Like, I'll get a point out of anything. Because like, I guess it's age too. You get to a point where you're like, life is short, midlife crisis right now. I'm going to die someday. I want to have the best relationships I can. I want to enjoy the most moments of my days that I can. And that comes with what did I learn so far? And if it's nothing, and I keep repeating the same mistakes and not admitting them and all that, how is that really going to lead to a meaningful life that, like I said, we keep interacting with other people? Am I making those interactions for other people worse or better? Because I care about making them better. And I love that we take accountability in this because, like I said, my issue with mental health spaces is sometimes like it is kind of devoid of accountability sometimes. Like they'll talk about other people needing to take accountability, but they're always the victim. And I hate that. I don't want to be the victim in my life. Yeah. I want to feel empowered.
Exactly. I love that. Don't enable people's shitty behavior, but also don't be shitty. Like in a nutshell.
It's so simple, right? But we need to talk about it for hours because but it is so context dependent, you know, it really is. But
totally. Yeah. I agree. If there was one thing that you could leave the listeners with out of all of this, what would it be?
I guess I would say that you know, we often feel like things are against us and we feel kind of down and all that. So I don't want people to like beat themselves up too much, but definitely do think, what could I do better? Because it's not to make yourself feel like shit, but just because what if you think about it in a way that's not smashing you down into the dirt, but in a way that like, maybe I could do something better. And if I do something a little better, maybe my outcomes could be better. And even if it's not something you did wrong, maybe it's the other person is just not receptive to you or just not, it's just not hitting. And that's something you could just think, you know what? Maybe I don't need to try so hard with someone if we're just not meshing, you know, and just letting that go, but just not just feeling like everyone else is the problem, you know, because that can be obviously, you know, it's not real. So we don't want to live in la la land. So self-awareness, but self-awareness that leads to a better result.
Growth. Definitely. All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's a wrap on today's episode with Cordula. I just want to give a huge thank you to her for bringing her A-game and always keeping it real and keeping it real with the audience and being willing to share her insights with everybody else. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm really looking forward to more discussions just between me and you, but also definitely having you back on the show. I feel like we could talk forever about a lot. And I know that we both have some really awesome ideas about other things that we could cover, especially because we are both single moms of teenagers and that's a whole fucking thing. So we covered a lot, from the misconceptions of mental health and relationships to the importance of being true to ourselves. It's clear that life's messy, relationships are complex, and there's no one-size-fits-all answer. But that's what makes this journey interesting, right? As always, please check out my Instagram at teatime.tara. There are always updates about the show, about what's going on in my life, and just fun memes, cool memes, interesting memes, you name it, I've got it. I try to keep my social media interesting, but I guess as a millennial, I use Instagram the most. Trying to think of what else to throw in there. Oh, I do have my new link in bio up. There is merch up on my link in my bio on Instagram. So please check that out. It really helps support the show by spreading the word. And that little bit of cash comes directly to me to pay for things like the subscription of hosting, for example. So any little bit helps. I really appreciate it. And as always, I appreciate your support. Please keep giving me ideas, coming to me with your feedback. Rate me on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. Please give my show a rating. That also really does help my show reach other people. And the whole point of this is to reach more people and help to change the world one conversation at a time. Thank you so much for tuning in to Tea Time with Tara. I can't wait to share the next discussion with you.